brought to you by Melon, the number one streaming platform on the planet. I use Melon as a Zoom alternative, but what it's really for, it's a great live streaming platform that allows you to go live simultaneously on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, or your own custom servers in just 3 clicks. Plus, they've got great themes and overlays to make your stream look incredible. So go try them out for free. Click on the link in the description below. Thanks, Melon. Welcome to the Tom Ward Show, where we talk to the biggest creators in the world, and I've got such a creator here, Bradley Martin. You've seen him on Instagram, seen him on YouTube, listen to his podcast. He's a fitness guru, creator, and entrepreneur, which we're going to touch on.
Yeah.
A very successful entrepreneur, I do say so.
I'm doing good. I appreciate it. There's always room for improvement, that's for sure.
Now you, it was kind of what, we all know you from social media.
Yeah.
And, but the goal was never to become an influencer or
Here's the deal. When I started social media, specifically on Instagram, late 2010, early 2011.
That's early.
Which is the beginning of the app. This wasn't a thing.
Yeah, true.
So when I started, it wasn't like, oh yeah, I'm going to be like Bradley Martin or Logan Paul or an influencer, because that wasn't even a thing.
It didn't exist.
So I had no intentions that I'm going to build this following and make money. That's not at all why I did any of those things.
The goal to build your training business?
To be honest, I was a trainer at the time, and I was pretty successful at training. I had gone through phases in it where when I first started training, it was mostly training like seemed to be average gym goers and like weekend warriors and then moms and girls who wanted to get in shape. And then it transitioned to like back in the day, which would have been like the popular Instagram models today, would have been like video vixens.
Yeah.
Back in the day, that's what the popular they were kind of influencers without any social.
Yeah.
They maybe had like a big Twitter.
Yep.
So I started training them, and then I started to train celebrities, but that's like my training life. And on social media, I had this app, and I just remember, here's where it started. I remember years before any of this, years before 2010, October 2010 was when Instagram started. I would read about on CNET. I don't know if you know, remember
yeah.
that website.
Like techie.
Yeah.
I think it's like still around, isn't
business
it?
Business stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I would read about social media because I was reading about Twitter and how Twitter is like e-commerce and this is like this opportunity. And I must have been like 16 years old and being like, oh, I want to learn how to make money on the internet. And my sole reason was because I wanted to be able to play video games as much as I wanted and not have to go to work. Because I would see other people in my life and examples of like, you know, lifestyles. And I'd be like, damn, I want to, like, how am I going to play video games if I have to do that? So I was really into working out and playing video games. And I was like, if I can just figure out a way to, which is crazy because like my life is that now.
Yeah.
Like it could be that 100%.
Wait, at the time, was there anybody like doing it like, no. Yeah, I want to be that guy?
Nothing. It didn't exist.
Nobody was
celebrities.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
There wasn't like examples. No, it was like, I thought my idea when I kind of started getting more into training was I'm going to train celebrities and be the best celebrity trainer in the world.
Okay.
That's what I thought when I started to get into that. I wasn't like, I'm going to be a social media influencer because, again, it wasn't a real thing.
But training celebrities was. Like, that's something you could see. Like, oh, okay, that's something I could do.
I knew that people, you know, there are successful celebrity trainers, and I knew about that. So anyways, I would read these sites all the time, and they'd talk about how, like, e-commerce and all this shit's going to change the world. And I was so like, I want to learn how to do that so I can work from home, so I could play video games and work out and do whatever I wanted. And that's where it started. So I would stay on this site all the time and look for new apps that were coming. And then they talked about Instagram coming, and they were talking about how, oh, this is going to change. And then I remember getting on it, and at this time, it was like everyone had still used Facebook, and Instagram was just like an app that people were using to get these like really ugly frames or filters on their photos to post them on Facebook.
Yep.
And that's when I got the app, and it was only on iPhone. It wasn't on Android. So if you went to someone, you're like, follow me, and they're like, well, I can't even download that app.
Yep.
So that's when I was on it, and I was in the gym, you know, working out, and I would tell my buddies, you'll follow me, and they'd be like, what the fuck is this? And I convinced people to follow. I remember like going around the gym and telling people like, follow me on Instagram.
But like, did people even know what the fuck Instagram was?
Half people were like, I have an Android, I can't download it, because they would look.
I got you.
App store.
Okay.
And then other people would be like, the fuck is that? And then some people like, oh, I have that, and I post like, they just like take the picture and put it on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just so enamored with like e-commerce and social media, like, because they kept talking about how the internet and how that was going to change the world. And yeah, I just like, I started from day one, and it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to make money on this. I just started like posting my life. I just started posting my clients, their progress. I started posting like my, you know, because there was no videos at the time. Mm-hmm. You just posting selfies. I post like ab selfies because I thought I looked good. And, and I post like transformations of like before and afters, basic kind of stuff. And then that
grew. But were people doing it at the time? I mean, the fitness influencer wasn't a thing. Were people posting like similar content? Was there like a big fitness guy on Instagram yet?
No, I think it was me, dude.
Like, you were the guy.
I remember this. I would be the first guy in the fitness industry that had 10,000 followers.
Wow.
And I remember I'd go to, at the time I was competing and training clients, and I would go to shows, and I remember like, cause I'll walk somewhere now and like, you know, depending on where I am, the demographic, someone might be like, oh, that's Bradley Martin.
Yeah.
Right. Which is so cool. And yeah. I'm grateful for that. Back then, when I had 10,000 followers and I'd walk into like the show, they'd be like, that's the guy who has 10,000 followers.
Because okay.
They'd see it. And so around that time, like I started selling or trying to sell like online coaching.
Okay.
Which was my first business
Makes sense.
Venture. And that started to go crazy. Like actually crazy. Like I did a giveaway with the other like biggest Instagram fitness. It was literally called Instagram Fitness.
That was the account.
That was one of the biggest accounts next to mine. And then a few other people who started to come up as well.
Okay.
And I did the very first giveaway they ever did for coaching, which was like giving away my services as an online trainer to, you know, some people who were entered into a giveaway. And I remember my business during that time and prior to that started to really go up. And then what I noticed was everyone started copying me.
Okay.
Like they would copy. I would make these little like squares that were marketing material that like this didn't exist. There was no one was like, yo, you should do this. I had a graphic designer that I knew, and I was like, yo, I want to make these little things and promote my services and be like, you know, 12 to 16 week program and like the bullet points and like burn, you know, like build muscle, burn, like that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Right. And then have like my email, like email for information or whatever. And I post these things and I write certain captions, and I noticed people in the circle who were kind of coming up as well would just regurgitate the same exact kind of content.
How annoying. I mean, it's always annoying when that happens, but especially when you were like the first doing
it. Yeah. So for a very long time, I was like really mad. I remember looking around and being like, why the fuck are these people copying me? But then I understand, like, I mean, it was a good idea. It's like, I can't keep it to myself. But I'll tell you, there was one guy, and I'm not going to say his name, but there was one guy who I used to, I mean, you're going to know if I tell you this part of it. I used to hashtag the online coach.
Okay.
That was, I was going to make it part of my brand. And this guy, I remember texting him and being like, yo, like, he started doing it too. I'm like, yo, what are you doing? Like, that's my thing.
Yeah.
Like, I remember at the time, you can go back to the very first post on that. I don't know if it's still there, but like, I would have the very first post with the hashtag, that beginning of the hashtag.
Okay.
And he was like, yeah, well, like, you know, it's my brand now. Like, he already got a website and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, fuck, okay. That's crazy. This is cool. So anyways, he like, for, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to say the guy stole it because obviously it was a good idea. He got to it a little bit sooner, I guess, legally and professionally,
fuck.
Which I didn't know how to really at the
time
because I was just figuring shit out. But yeah, that's kind of like the journey there. That's how it started. I just kept posting.
But what a point, like I'd always do my homework and stuff, and I read the part where you said, you know, you were basically broke and didn't have much direction coming out of high school.
This is way before that.
So when, like, how old were you at this time?
This was like, it was in transition. So I didn't have money out of high school. I went to Sacramento State. I didn't like it up there.
Okay.
It felt like a bigger version of my hometown, Pacifica, California. And it just felt like a weird bubble. So I went back home. I went to community college in the Bay Area. And then I came down to Cal State Fullerton in Fullerton.
Okay.
And I started to go to school there. And then I got to a point where I couldn't keep paying for the tuition. Cause like, I remember like every semester it was like, I think I started at like 600. And then the time that I dropped out, it was like 1600 for the same amount of like units you're trying to purchase. And I was like, I can't even pay for this shit anymore. And from there I was a trainer, and this is when I was training people in person. This wasn't social media.
Okay.
So I was training people in person. I would get by, you know, I'd train like I said, women or, you know, some weekend warrior type guys. And I was training people at 24 Hour Fitness.
Does that get you jaded at some point? Like, would you rather train like a professional, or does it get frustrating when you go, I know this motherfucker's not going to listen to what I tell him to eat. I know he's going to be just as fat next week. Like, does that get, or is that just part of the game?
That's part of it. I mean, the bigger thing behind that is trying to really identify what motivates people, right?
Is that what you got to figure
out?
Yeah,
I mean, I was a young kid. It was, you know, at the time it was probably much harder for me to connect with certain people, but I was always able to have conversation with people that would try to figure out the real reason why they want to get in shape.
Okay.
Because even then, it's like, if I met some guy and he's like, yo, I just want to get big, you know, or I want to lose weight, right? You have to start to define with that person, why do they want it? Because a lot of people, surface level, they go, yeah, I want to get stronger. Yeah. And you try to figure out why is it important for that person to get stronger. And if you dig deep enough and if they're willing to be open enough, they'll get to some conclusion like, you know, I don't like feeling weak, or I've been bullied, or I don't want to feel, you know, vulnerable, so I want to feel like I want to be, I make myself stronger.
Okay.
And when you start to get to those real reasons why people are trying to transform their bodies, then you're 10 times more successful with a person. Because okay. It's always more than just saying like, oh, I want to get in shape. It's like, why is being in shape important to you? Not just physically, you know, but like what's going on? Because there's always a deeper connection with these things.
Okay.
So if you can define that with someone, it was much easier to get them engaged. So yeah, of course, like every trainer would love to have like the superstar athlete that just like crushes it. But that person is a very like, you know, few and far in between, and they're very defined on what, you know, why they're doing it. Whereas most people, they know why they're doing it, but sometimes it's like a underlying subconscious thing that maybe it's harder for them to reach to. And truly, if you can get people to reach to that and to like be vulnerable with that and share that with you as a trainer or as a coach, you're gonna get them so much farther, like not just physically, but like in their life, because that's like a thing that it's technically kind of holding you back until you start to get closer to it. So I don't mind. I mean, I never mind. I honestly really enjoyed that part of training. That was my favorite part, which is just like this part here, the communication.
Yeah. Right? Yep.
So that was the thing that was much bigger. And I always knew how important that was because, you know, I knew how important it was for me.
How do you do that online now? Fast forward to 2021. How do you make, is there a way to make those connections and go, he never got girls when he was young, and that's why he wants to be big now because he thinks he'll be more attractive. Like, how do you... Is there a way to even figure that out?
In the training space?
Yeah, or? Like online training stuff.
Yeah. So that would be, I mean, that'd be through either email communication or, you know, set up phone calls and stuff like that.
It's just different.
Yeah, it's a different way. I mean, it's not as easy if I sat here with you and I was talking to you and I got to know you and I spent time with you in person.
Sure.
Because you can break down the barriers much easier. Like, I can't shoot an email and be like, hey, what really makes you tick? And what really makes you mad? You know,
what
the fuck?
Yeah,
so you have to develop some sort of more rapport. I mean, you could probably do that over time, but it'd be much easier if we had a conversation about like your life and where you've been and what you want to achieve and why that's important.
Because
the why is always the true thing that really matters.
Yeah. So I think people get trainers get a bad rap. You know, like, hey, we're just meatheads and you know, there's not much to it.
But I also think there's a lot of trainers who are just meatheads. Like, I'm not saying not all trainers are thinking like that.
Okay.
Most trainers are thinking like, I got to get re-signed to make money, which is why I got out of like the training business for commercial gyms.
Because it's all about like, I need that client paying next week.
100% money driven. I remember having managers who I was a really good seller because I'd have these sort of relationships with people. Mm-hmm. And then they would come and have meetings with me and be like, you got to sell more, you got to re-sign. In my mind, I'm like, why don't I just focus on getting the person what they want and they're going to re-sign. But it'd be like, no, you got to get this many re-signs by this day. Because they get incentives and benefits based on your re-signs and their company, and then they look better and then they get promoted or they get more money. And it's just like, I never jived with that sort of, you know, driven, we need you to get this from this person. Because I was always like, well, if I just gave them what they wanted and they got what they wanted out of this, then they're going to continue to stay. And I always knew that.
Yeah.
And that's why eventually, like, I stopped training at these places and started to, you know, train independently and train online.
Is that, was that like a tough period of your life? Is that when you're trying to figure out Instagram and you're just training and trying to figure the whole thing out?
Yeah, so I would say the toughest period was the transition because I went from training clients and I started to get to a point where I was like, okay, I want to do this on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I didn't have the influx of like I'm at, you know, a gym and there's clients coming in and out. I was having to get my own clients and to keep them.
It's hard.
And also to transition, like clients would want to leave the gym and come train with me, but they get a certain rate at the gym. And I was like, okay, that rate didn't, it started to not make sense for my time. And I remember there was at one point where I was like, okay, I'm worth $100 an hour.
Okay.
And I know this, and because I've seen my track record, I've seen the evidence. So I remember I'd even like tell people who were clients, like, hey, I have to charge you this now. And they'd be like, well, I can't do it. And I remember I lost like, I don't know, must have been like more than half my clientele because I was like, I have to maintain this for myself because I know it's my value. But then eventually it started to pick up where I would get that number because I knew that's what I was worth and I was finding those right people.
Most people don't think like that. Most people go, fuck, well, I'm out on my own. Yeah. You want to offer me $65 an hour?
No, I need it.
I'll take it. I'll take whatever you got.
Like, I needed it. I needed
that. That takes balls saying, hey, I'm worth $100 an hour, you know?
Yeah.
And if you leave.
If you're worth it and you have like, if you can show someone, hey, I've helped 10 people. I've helped 20 people do the same thing. Like maybe not the same exact body goals you have, but something similar. It's like, yeah. If you just listen I'm able to build that connection where like you can truly break down the walls that are like holding you back from like, you know, making true progress physically.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can do that, and I've done that 10 times or 100 times, 10, 20 times, it's like, I do have to sit there and be like, okay, well, I know there's value there. So someone listening, like you do have to at some point draw your line and say, this is my value. Now, you can't draw your line and say, this is my value and be fucking trash at it. Because then it's like, you're just saying, oh, I'm worth $100 because you want $100.
Oh, yeah, that's a different thing.
It's a big difference.
Yep. But still, that takes balls at the time. Were you like stressing every time? I mean, was there any doubt where you go, every client that's leaving, you're going, fuck, man, maybe I'm not worth $100. Maybe I'm just a $65 an hour
guy. No, I just knew it was just finding the right people.
Okay.
I knew it was finding the right people. Some people just couldn't pay for it. I mean, I'm also not, you know, if it doesn't make sense to them financially, you can't be like, hey, you need to pay this.
Sure.
So it's just, I need to continue to find the right people that fit with also my value.
Yeah.
Right? If you just base your training and like your off the value that you're, you know, if you're basing your training off the value that you're giving to someone, then you can't change that based on like how much money you're getting. You just say, I know the value I'm bringing and this is the value. If you can't pay for it, it's not that I don't want you to succeed, but at the same time, like the values have to be given. Like you don't want a client who, imagine you did 100%, you're always there, and then like they just never try to really improve. They never try to put in the extra effort. They never try to stop eating the shit, or they never try.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're spinning your own wheels. You're wasting their time. They're wasting your time. Mm-hmm. It goes both ways because it's not like just no one can, like a trainer can't make you go from A to Z. Like you have, like it's your own body, right?
Yep.
You can't force someone like, all right, let's bend your knees now.
Yeah.
They have to want it.
Yep.
And if you can't find people that want it, then at the same time, imagine you're like, okay, I'll take $60 or take $40 and just get by because you need money.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're getting a bad service because they're ultimately not getting what they want out of it eventually because like they're not the right person for that mix. You know?
Yeah.
Because you're just going for the money. Because if you could identify, oh, this person is really serious, and it doesn't mean that money's just identifying that. It just means like if they're serious for it and they know that the value is there and they're willing to put in the effort and energy, then they can succeed at it. And if they're not, then you know maybe you're going to, as a trainer, also put time into something that isn't going to get further, then ultimately, like, they might look at you and tell their friend, like, oh, that person sucked.
Yeah.
You know? So sometimes it's better to cut your losses at that side instead of, like, allowing it to keep going and, you know, kind of not go anywhere.
You know, and that relates to people watching this. Everybody wants to be an influencer. That's kids' number one. Isn't that wild from where you come from? Like, that's kids' number one career aspiration is to become a YouTuber.
Yeah, which is wild, man. Like I said, that didn't exist when I was young.
No.
It was just not a thing. No, I mean, there was no examples. Like, the biggest thing, like I said, was celebrity trainers. And then, like, maybe you see people on magazines that, like, if you were a bodybuilder, you'd be in a magazine, like, fitness-wise. But there wasn't, like, oh, man, I could be a fitness influencer. Which is, like, I would say probably one of the most popular things for people to try to become.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Like, influencing,
it's a cool job if you like working out and stuff. Like, that's a great job.
Yeah, it's dope as fuck.
Honestly,
man, the coolest thing ever. And then you can fucking chill and play video games. That shit's sick, dude. That's the best, man.
But, like what you're saying is, it translates to that person watching this, right? Is you got to set your worth, especially as you become bigger and stuff. If you just take those shitty $50 brand deals, you're telling the market, I'm just worth $50.
Yeah.
Like, it's real hard, like I said, to say, I'm worth a grand, and this is why, and you don't want to pay me? Well, tough shit.
It is much harder, because you know, depending on what point the person's at, like, they could really need the money.
Of course.
Right? And I mean, but that's a part of life, right? Like, if you know your value, or if you also have a perceived value, like a value that you want to be at, you do have to draw a line somewhere.
Where does that... I mean, most people don't have that confidence. Like, where does that confidence come from? Like, you're bouncing around community college. You can't even afford tuition. Like, where does this belief in you go, like, I'm that guy, and I'm going to be this premium dude in this space?
I don't know, man. I, like...
But you can't teach that.
Yeah. That's a really interesting question. I guess, my childhood, my desire to prove myself.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has a lot to do with my father. My father took his life when I was young. So I've always had this like Yeah, I don't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't.
So he hung himself when I was 6 years old.
Holy shit.
And, you know, I struggled heavily with, like, value. Like, am I not worth it? And, oh, I'm trying to get emotional.
Do you put that blame on yourself as a little kid? Like, somehow you had something to do with
it. So a lot of my childhood, like, in trying to figure things out was, like, no, I am worth it. Like, it's not, like, why would that person do it to me, right? Am I not good enough? So I think a lot of my, like, competitiveness is in proving that I'm good enough.
You have a kind of a chip on your shoulder, mm-hmm. something to prove. Did your mom, was your mom like real instrumental in picking up the slack and like instilling that you are somebody good? Did she kind of feel that?
No, but my, but my mom, listen though, my mom's a wonderful person, but she was never like, you are someone, you know,
yeah.
It wasn't about that. Like her relationship with me about that wasn't, I didn't exactly tell her, hey, this is how I feel as a kid.
Well, yeah, because you don't know.
But she did everything in her power to try to make sure that I was good, you know?
Yeah.
Like, she was always, she's a very loving person. It wasn't like she didn't do that for me, but I also didn't explicitly say, hey, I feel like this. I kept more of that inside.
Of course.
And it was like more of an internal battle. So, I mean, she's a great woman. She's definitely always there for me whenever I need it. There's no doubt about that. But she wasn't outwardly being like, you know, you're good enough. It wasn't because I never necessarily made that an issue. You know?
Yeah.
It was an issue within me.
And somehow you use that to drive yourself. And
yeah.
That's been your motivator.
I mean, and yeah. And then when I found the gym, that's really what happened. When I found the gym, like I first worked out.
Were you a bigger kid? Like,
no,
not at all.
Skinnier.
Oh, okay.
I first worked out. I played like Pop Warner. So football.
Yeah.
Peewees, midgets. You're playing football. And then, you know, you do body weight stuff. You do some kind of leg stuff, not seriously. And then I was 15. I got in the gym once and I did I benched. I remember we had the old like bullshit GNC like protein powder, but like strawberry. It tastes like shit. But I remember benching and being like, oh, I really like this. And then I kept training, not super consistent at that age.
Could you lift? I mean, were you any better than the other kid there? I mean,
not at all.
Any
not
stronger than
no,
anybody?
No way. No, I was a skinny
You weren't like a phenom
no,
kid.
No, fuck no. I was a skinny kid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was a skinny kid. And then when I turned 17, that's when I was like, holy fuck, I love the gym. That's when I fell in love with it. Because I met, at the time, someone who became like a father figure to me at the gym, at my local, like, 24. His name is Chad. And
go ahead, man. I'm sure, since you were six, like, you were looking for somebody like that to fill. I mean, every kid has, like, a need for a dad or that kind of, you know, male person in their life.
Yeah.
He was the guy who could fill that?
Yeah, sorry.
You're fine, brother.
Yeah, so then I met Chad, and that's the it was kind of like the community aspect of it, not just him, but also the other, you know, not necessarily father figures, but male figures and people who I would train with. And, you know, I did like some pad training with, another guy named Dom. And then, but I was in there like all day. Like as soon as I found the gym, anytime I can go to the gym, I was there for like 6 hours, 7 hours, because I would see them. And then the other guy would come in later, or I would just like go down the street, eat some food, come back and keep working out. And I loved the feeling of it because of the community.
Yep.
And because of obviously my father, the guy who was kind of pushing me, he was a really strong guy at the time. When I saw him, I'm like, oh my God, I want to be able to do this. And then the conversations we would have. And then obviously the other friends who were more around my age that I was like, oh shit, I really enjoy this, like experiencing this camaraderie. And at the same time, I was constantly searching for father figures throughout my life. Even prior to that, like, you know, friends, dads and things like that. But this was the first time that I felt like I had one in something that was also really releasing to me just as a person. I remember being in the gym and learning like, oh shit, like, you know, when you lift the heavy weight, everything else disappeared. That's how I got addicted to it, because I would always have this like inner dialogue of like thoughts of my father and why is this and what is death and what does this mean and why is this, where is this person? All these
dark shit for a kid.
Yeah, since I was fucking 6 years old, I remember thinking about this shit like every fucking day. And then, like I said, I found the gym. And
that stopped that circle.
Yeah, yeah, it slowed it down, you know? And then I realized like when I'm here, like everything else, like I didn't feel it as much or I didn't think about it. It wasn't constantly in my mind. It was like a little like relaxed. So I was like, oh, I want to be here all the time. And that's when I got addicted to the gym.
Like I love this feeling.
Yeah, everything about it. But it's a little bit, at the time, it was an escape. I wasn't making it better. I was like using it as like a Band-Aid, you know?
Yeah.
And also though, at the same time, in those experiences and with the people that I was surrounding myself with, I was kind of, I guess, somewhat healing a little bit of myself.
What do you mean?
Like having other like father figures and like male friends in my life that we were bonding in this experience that like I just never really had. I didn't have that growing up.
You know, I've been training for a while, like boxing, like since for years and years and years. Yeah. Boxing gyms are just the cool place to hang out because there's people at the same thing, I'm sure, with you at a gym. Yeah. There's always people at different levels. Somebody's always better than you. Somebody's, you know, not as good as you. But everybody's cool. And what I've found is the real badass people are the coolest.
Yeah.
And are the most welcoming because they have nothing to prove. And they are really, I think a lot of people, probably people watching this, look at gyms like, oh, it's someplace I got to go fucking Wednesday night and I got to stay for 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
But to some other people like you, it's like a place you want to go, and now you have your own kind of clubhouse. You have one.
Yeah, I mean, it changed my entire life. There's no doubt. But I understand that idea. Like, a lot of people don't understand it because they maybe they don't have as much of a need for it. They have find their void or they fill it with other things, you know? Like, maybe someone likes art, and then they get into art, and they're like, wow, this is the thing for me.
Yeah.
But for sure, I think for millions and millions of people, the gym is the thing for them that mm-hmm. fills that. Whether it's not just about, you know, a father passing, something else could be going on in your life, and you find this, and you're like, whoa, this feeling. Because physiologically as well, obviously, as we know, there's a real dopamine response to the gym. So you are actually getting an effect.
Which you're feeling
like,
better.
Kind of like drug-like in a sense. But then also that on top of, for me specifically, in my situation, was the relationship to having male father figure type people who I was able to like interact with because I didn't have that growing up.
You know, is that guy still alive?
Yeah.
Are you in communication? Like, has he seen your success?
I think so. I contacted him, I don't know how many years ago.
That'd be a great video. Good content.
Yeah, I know. Oh, no, I should do that. Go up and see him.
You just kind of show like, hey, look where they started from that little gym.
Chad Nahegan.
Okay.
I don't know exactly how to spell his last name, but that was his name. That is his name, I'm assuming he's... Sorry, Chad.
He didn't have any surgery or anything.
No, yeah. I don't think so.
I don't know. Maybe. Who knows?
Man. But yeah, it's... Yeah, dude. The gym is everything for me.
And now you have that... You have your own gym. Which is pretty badass. And that's kind of like... It seems like just watching your videos and stuff. Like, it seems like that's your like clubhouse. Like, that's the place you want to hang out.
Yeah. The zoo culture is amazing. And the thing about it is... It's become so much more than what I thought it was going to be even in the beginning.
What did you think it was going to be?
Originally, I was just going to open a gym that I was going to film my content out because I kept getting kicked out of other gyms. So I was going to build a gym. Oh, straight up.
Why were you getting kicked out of a gym?
You know, lifting girls or doing crazy dumb shit. Like, just doing shit that, like, is not normal for a gym.
Yeah.
But I knew it was working on the internet. So I was like, oh, I want to do more of this. But then I would go do it at, like, a Gold's Gym and they would kick me out. You know, because it's, like, it's also just not in their policies to allow certain things.
Of course,
I don't blame them. So, but I was like, oh, I want to open up a space where I could have all this dope equipment, stuff that I've always wanted. Plus, I've always wanted my own gym, originally with the idea that I was going to train celebrities, like I told you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I opened the gym and I was like, okay, well, I might as well have members because, you know, let's see if it can work that way. Because I would have so many interactions with people going to expos and stuff for years that I was like, well, you know, maybe I could have that similar type of interaction with people who come in and get memberships at the gym, which is a lot of times really good interactions, right? Because I would share a lot. And they would share, like, people would come and share stories with me, like, when I go to, like, Olympia Expo. And they'd say, I watched this video, and, you know, you changed my life, and all this, like, crazy shit. So I was like, well, I might as well allow people in here to have these, like, hopefully have these similar experiences. And it just took off, and it just has a life of its own now with, like, you know, there's a powerlifting community in there, bodybuilding, tons of influencers. And it's become, like, a place, like, a destination-type gym for people to come make content and, like, build their... social media platforms. And
can people lift girls in there? Can you film crazy shit?
Yeah, you do whatever you want there.
You're not kicking them out.
I let a guy cook some like steak thing in there because a part of his thing is like cooking on his TikTok or some shit.
Would he have a hot plate or something?
Yeah, some shit like that. I let people, I mean, obviously you can't go in there and do everything.
Yeah.
You know, you can't go in there and have sex. Sure. I mean, there was one girl who was in there once and like, she tried to like film some shit in the back with her. And we were like, yeah, you can't do that here. I don't know what you're doing. You can't do that here. I just heard about that.
Why you gotta shut her down, bro?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's different, you know? Sexual stuff, like, fully, like, explicit is a little different. But yeah, no, it's a place where it's like, it's meant for that kind of stuff. Cause like for me too, a lot of people, like kids will come and be like, oh, it's so cool. I can come and I can film this stuff here. And I'm like, yeah, it's like, that's how I became successful, was filming this stuff. Yeah, I was getting kicked out, but why would I make a place that
that's true.
You couldn't do it?
Yeah.
You know, if I'm going to allow it open to the public, why would I not have you be allowed to film content like I was filming content?
Because some people are assholes. Some creators are assholes. They say, this is for Bradley Martin to film content. Fuck everyone else. Oh, yeah, keep your cameras away.
Yeah, no, it's never been that way. Even there's people who come to my gym who I know they don't even like me, and they come to my gym and they film content.
Shut up.
Swear to God.
Just clout chasing or what?
I mean, it is what it is.
Is that a thing? In your world?
Yeah, for sure.
You've been there since the beginning. Have you seen it get crazier?
Yeah, I mean, I think now it's the craziest because, like, everyone wants to do it now. So it's common. It's very common to run into stuff like that. But it's just a part of it, you know? Like, anyone wanting to succeed at anything, like, I also don't blame them to... Like, I've had so many interactions with people that I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, but like, I get it because, you know, maybe in their mind, that's the way for them to succeed.
Yeah.
You know? And I also can't be like... you know, don't succeed.
Sure.
It's just, you know, it's sometimes boundaries can get crossed. I might have to be like, hey, like, I don't know if you realize that this is like actual, this is not, you can't just do this or this is disrespectful to me or to that person, right?
Do people, I'm sure, like, people, aspiring fitness influencers, like, the plan is, okay, I'm going to buy a day pass. I'm going to go to his gym.
Yeah.
I'm going to film TikToks with Bradley. Like, does that get annoying? Do you have everybody hitting you up to, like, constantly to film content?
Yeah, but, like, straight up, sometimes like I just don't have enough time to do it all.
Of course,
because I'm so in and out. And sometimes I feel bad, but then I'm also like, "Fuck, it's difficult." Because like, I'll give you an example. When my gym first opened, for the first like 2 years, I was so overwhelmed with the amount of people who come up to me every day to take pictures and to talk to me. The very first 2 years it opened, that like during that time, I did nothing for myself. Like, all my workouts were half-assed. All my workouts were bullshit. I was... Because imagine this. Someone would come up to me and say, hey, can I get a picture? And if I said yes, there'd be a line of, like, five more people.
And you're in between sets.
And I'm in between sets. Or, like, I was going to work out and, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And it would turn into, like, just, like, a meetup. Which I understand why, you know? I understand why they're there.
Every day is not a meet and greet with
Bradley
Martin.
But I was getting to the point where I would have to tell people, like, hey, like... as soon as I'm done with my workout, I got you. And then, because you got to understand, like, I would tell them, I'd be like, you guys realize the reason why you give a fuck about me is because of the things that I was doing. But, like, if I can't continue those things, then you guys are not going to give a fuck about me.
So what's the matter?
So I would have to draw the line. And it sucked because you'd have to tell people no, like, you know, wait till I'm done. And then I you know, over the years, I noticed people be, like, mad. And I'm like, dude, what, like, what am I supposed to do? I can't win.
Yep.
But then I'm like, okay, fuck. Like, I know that people are traveling here to, like, to meet me or to meet other influencers now at this point. And I'm like, I kind of realize, like, if I go there, I have to expect it. And I've just kind of been like, yo, if I'm not working out, I don't care.
Yeah.
I genuinely don't care. But if I'm working out, I have to be like, yo, as soon as I'm done. But again, like I said, some people don't like it.
Dude, imagine, you know, TikTokers have it the worst, because think about that. Anytime an Addison Rae goes somewhere, somebody wants to film a dance video with her.
Yeah.
So it's one thing just taking a selfie. They want you to do a full-on dance performance with them for their TikToks.
I'm glad I don't do that shit.
Like, that's a tough deal.
There's no way I'm dancing.
You're not going to be a dance TikToker anytime soon?
I like taking photos and... I don't even dance on that shit anyways. No, I wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't do it. That's not for me.
Is it wild to see, like, all these kids, like, wanting to collab with you now?
That's cool. I think it is cool.
There's, it keeps you young, too.
There's a lot of... It's crazy to think that I'm 32 now.
Old, bro.
Because I did this when I was 20.
Yeah.
You know, like 19, 20.
But you're an OG in it now.
Yeah, and it's cool because a lot of the kids coming up, a lot of the guys coming up, which we've signed for, like, my company, Raw Gear, I'll hit them up and they'll be like, oh, I've been watching you. I grew up watching you.
It's badass.
So that was cool because then you meet them and they're like, yeah, I watched you and now I'm doing what I kind of saw you do, obviously in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool because, like I said, my whole thing comes full circle now, which is I always wanted a father figure in my life and I always wanted someone that can, like, guide me and show me because I didn't have that, so I was always searching for it.
Yeah.
And now I've become that person for a lot of young men. And that was the biggest turning point in my life.
Is that when, did you go to therapy for all that stuff?
I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
And you did that and figured it out on yourself?
I don't know if I really figured it out. Like, obviously it still affects me, right? Like, so.
Of course.
But, like, yeah, I went to therapy when I was young, very young. And then I went to therapy when I was a little older. And then, mm-hmm. you know, more recently, I've gone to therapy here and there. But, you know.
Has being that guy for other people, has that helped kind of stop?
That helps the most.
Does it help the most?
Yeah, because that's the thing where I'm like, well, like this is, that's like my true passion. That's the thing that truly fulfills me. Because, you know, I realized too, it's like, you can't always be the guy forever, right? As far as like being the guy in the most shape, or the guy who's the strongest, or the guy who's the best looking, whatever, right?
Yeah.
But my evolution in this industry now being the guy that like can give or to give back or to show or to guide people.
That never ends. There's no shelf life on that.
And that's what I've always wanted. So being that guy now is like, wow, I'm right in like that spot where I feel true fulfillment. Because like I said, my life up until about 26, because that's when I, 26 years old, when I started like seeing comments where people saying like, yo, you changed my life, or I heard the story about your father, because I started sharing more of the stuff on YouTube. And you saved me. Like, I've had conversations with people that like, I didn't kill myself because of the things you said.
Wow.
Like hundreds of times.
That's better than any brand deal you'll get.
So like that to me feeling. Is like a direct, like, yeah, I mean, that's just money, right? But a direct feeling of something that speaks to me in my childhood, you know, is like, if I could save someone's life or be there for someone when they felt like they needed it, because I just know what it felt like to need that shit and not have it. So now to have that and to be able to give that back is like,
wow.
Money will never fill that.
Sure.
Never.
And even if you got that one time, you touch that one person, time. It's worth all of it.
That's it. Because that's the thing. And so around 26, I started to realize that. And that's, so the people listening, I just want to make this understood. Like when I was 6 years old to literally 26 years old, I would say, I struggled so much with like, why did this happen to me? Right? And what's the point of this? And what's the point of life? And what's my purpose? And am I going to die? And how am I going to, and all these struggles and worries, and am I good enough? And I dealt with that for so long, and it affected my relationships, my friendships, everything.
Of course.
And then until about 26 years old, it started to make more sense. So it took me 20 years to realize, wow, this is actually a really good thing in my life, not a terrible thing. But so I just want to say to the people listening, no matter what it is, I'm not saying it's like a father figure passing away or, you know, a love of, it could be anything, but my point is this, you don't always get like the good from the terrible things in your life, but if you're still around, obviously the most terrible thing would be like if you die.
Yeah. Because then no coming back.
But if it didn't kill you, it is gonna make you better. It's just along your lines of how you, you know, how you're perceiving that information when it happens and what you learn along the way till you receive like, oh, this makes sense now. It took me 20 years to be like, whoa, this really makes sense. And this is what truly drives me and what truly is like my passion. And I just want to say to the people listening, whatever it is that's going on in your life, it may not make sense right now, but I promise you eventually it can. If you're willing to put in the effort, and if you're willing to like look inside yourself and look around and see what's actually going on, not just from the perspective of like this bad shit is happening to me or it's happened to me. And then you kind of determine your life based on, well, you know, that happened to me, so like I'm going to do this now. That bad happened to me, so then I'm going to do this bad now. So, because that's the thing, man, like even my early 20s, like when in my dating life, like I'll give you, we were kind of talking about when I was like in my car and stuff like that, living in my car.
Yeah.
And we didn't get into that, but.
No, we'll stop right there. You were living in your car?
Yeah, well, I'll get. Okay. So this is after my best friend, who's still a really, really good friend of mine at the time, I mean, the time right now, Brandon, he was like, yo, I'm going to go move to out here, actually, Woodland Hills, because he's going to open up a nutrition store. And I was like, all right, cool, so I'm coming. And he's like, no, you're not living with me, because I was messy.
Yeah.
And I get it, and I totally understand. But at the time, I was so like, whoa, what the fuck? Like, what am I going to do? Because I'm paying, like, I'm living on his floor, and then we lived in a thing together with another guy, so I'm paying rent, like, applicable to, like, splitting like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he dips, and I'm like, oh, fuck. What am I going to do? So then I was in this whole in-between phase of like, you know, not having enough income to pay to go put a down payment to live somewhere. And then also, you know, dating these girls, which is why this is going to be relevant, because I was dating a girl at the time prior and then during the time that.
First of all, you got to have pretty strong game to keep a girl with really no place to live. Oh, like, man. That's pretty strong.
Man, I didn't want to tell this story. I was just say this. Yeah, even before this, I dated a girl who is a baby mom. I'm not going to say her name. Is a baby mom to like someone really famous. But this is way before they ever dated. Way, way before. And I actually lived in a house with like 15 people because we were paying, you know, like four people living in the fucking garage, like three in the living room. Like,
sure.
In the house.
I've been
so,
there.
So, but I pulled like one of the baddest females. And people, I swear to God, it's so bad, like, the roommates, she would walk out and leave, and everyone would be like, what the fuck, dude? Like, what are you, what the fuck? How did you do that? That's a whole nother story, but.
Well, how did you do that?
Dude.
What'd you have to offer? I mean, what was the secret?
I was a side guy, number one. So I'll just put it that way.
But still, you're in the game.
So I had dick to offer, apparently. But
okay.
But I wasn't like, it wasn't like my, I thought it was my girl.
Sure.
I thought it was my girl, but I found out along the way that I was the side guy and there was a whole situation there and it didn't work out. But
okay.
Afterwards, I dated this girl who was like a, her parents were like really successful in like some costume movie industry thing. So she was had a lot of money and I was dating her and I had this like real like love attachment with her.
Okay.
And so this is going to have to do with what I was saying earlier about like processing information and going through and looking at myself and seeing what's happening. So my relationship with this girl was very like, it was coming to an end because there was stuff going on with like her ex. And but I was so afraid to let go because this is me, you know, again, relating to my childhood, not wanting to lose people. So I had a really hard time letting this girl go, like a terrible hard time. And part of the hard time also affected me financially, and I'll tell you why, and which is why I started like really struggling in that sense. I was training like the video vixens, like I was telling
you.
And I was training like some popular people here and there, making great money. And along the way, this girl's like, yo, she, among other problems, she's like, you're sleeping with your clients. This client, that client. I'm like, okay, I got rid of him. Got rid of him. Now I'm getting rid of all these blessings in my life. Money, right? Yeah, no, it's not a problem anymore. I'm not training them. So what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I got to my last client who was a gay client. And the last client, she even goes, and that guy had let me live in his house for a little bit, spend some time like like a little side house. He lived out in the Hollywood Hills. And he's like, yeah, she was like, yeah, you're having sex with your gay client. I was like, what are you talking about? But I was so like calling my mom, like, this girl, she's breaking my heart, I'm crying, like, and I just didn't want to lose her.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that I loved her, it was an attachment.
Makes sense.
Because of my attachment, the loss of my father, not wanting to lose people in my life. So that was the time when I lost all these clients, I lost all this money, and then I lost this person. I was broken. And that's when I was like, okay, like, and also like trying to move, trying to find a place to live. And I was living on like people's couches,
oh,
like
in
Hollywood and Burbank. And then I'm like living all over the place, like in my car as well. And I'm moving around to try and figure it out. And then I met this girl who, Jacob, I just think of you whenever I tell this story now, what? Just because of the way you say the name all the time, or not the name, the region. Anyways, he's not listening. The girl.
He's not even paying
the
attention.
The ex, my
bro.
Ex.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyways, so I met this girl, and this is significant because I met this girl who, again, at the time, like, she kind of like, because of all that stuff, when I got out of that one relationship, the attachment, I was like, fuck the world, fuck girls, fuck everyone. I'm taking advantage of everyone and everything because I felt so hurt.
Oh, fuck, man.
I felt so hurt because it was like, you know, I was the father issue and losing. And I lost, it felt like this person was torn away from me for like the dumbest fucking reasons that made no sense. And I couldn't make it make sense.
Yeah.
I'm very much like a why, trying to understand type of guy. And I couldn't understand it. And I was so hurt. Then I get out of it and I'm like, fuck everyone. Like, I feel so like taken advantage of. I lost all of my money. I lost this person. I lost that. I lost myself in it. And I was so mad at myself that I allowed that, like, that anger and resentment to now permeate the rest of my life. So I met this girl who, sweetheart, amazing person. And I treated her like very badly. It was like I was always 1 foot in, 1 foot out, and I was taking advantage. She'd let me live with her. She would cook for me. She was like such an amazing person. But I was always afraid to like fully put myself into it. So I was like, you know, I would text girls here, text to like keep myself, 1 foot in, 1 foot out, in case she says, you know, fuck off, I'll be good and I won't be hurt. Because I'm not going down that road again, you know? And then, you know, long story short, like 2 years later, I started to realize within the relationship, like, oh wait, I really love this girl. And I ruined that relationship from, you know, she had all her own issues and things in her past and relationship issues and trust issues. And I just exacerbated and made it all bad. And then we had like a 8-year on and off relationship and it, you know, eventually broke and, you know, we're not together today. But the point of this is I didn't give myself enough time from, you know, the past relationship to like really digest all that information in my life and how I related it to like my childhood and like losing it. And I just jumped right into another relationship that, you know, I ruined something great because I wasn't allowing myself to look inside and see like, okay, what, why am I doing these things? Like, how am I finding myself in these situations? Instead of being like, you know, a lot of people, they'll get in situations and things will happen and they'll go, this is your fault. This is what happened. And so I was doing that And then until I learned to look inside and be like, okay, what did I do here? And like, what have I been doing here? What have I been allowing to go into the rest of my life? And it was the resentment of like losing and not trying to lose someone, and then eventually finding someone that's great and pushing them completely away.
You know, it's wild, like you kind of were down on yourself a little bit, like, oh shit, it took me 20 years to figure this out. But let's give credit where credit's due, right? A lot of people never figure it out. And like, I have my own mental health issues I still struggle with. I didn't get them figured out till my mid 30s. So like, I think you're ahead of the curve, right, with most people dealing with big shit like that.
I think I'm grateful, man. I think you're right. I think truly though, this is the thing that's going to like make people be like, fuck, we never really figure it out.
No.
Like you never just go, oh, my anxiety gone forever.
Sure.
You know, it just doesn't work that way. No. It's like, you learn yourself enough to know like what can cause it and how to deal with it and how to relieve it or how to, you know, experience less of it. These mental health things, it's not like it just disappears. You're like, that's a whole phase of my life's completely gone. Like it will kind of slip through and go away, be worse, but that's a part of life. Just in general, like that's also another thing I think is really interesting. I remember when I was young and I'd look at people who were like, you know, I don't know, 30 or 40, and they have like these like Mercedes, and I was a little kid, and I'd be like, yo, how much do those car cost? And it's like $60,000. I'd be like, fuck, maybe I'll have that when I'm 80, because I had no money. You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's never gonna have that.
Might as well be $1 million, $60,000.
And I remember experiencing this and being a kid and being like, man, they got it figured out. Those 30-year-olds, those 40-year-olds, they know what they got. And I'm 32 and I'm like, yes, I have a lot more figured out with my life. But every day I still wake up and I'm like, what am I going to do next? You know, like, I don't know the process. I don't know what's going to happen next week. I have ideas. I have hopes. I have dreams. But like, I'm constantly trying to figure it out. Like, and I think that's a really important thing to make note, because a lot of the younger people might look at older people. I know I did it. And they think just people have it figured out. But I truly believe we are constantly trying to figure it out.
Sure.
And that's a part of life.
100%. And like, you know, I dealt through my own shit. I got involved in drugs and alcohol young, and like in high school I was lost and I fucked up college and all this. And I would constantly look at like the kids I was friends with from high school and, you know, see them 3 years after high school and they look nice and they're engaged or they got that job and same shit. It's like, oh, they got it all figured out. What the fuck's wrong with me? It seems like everybody's got it figured out.
Yeah.
And I think especially on social media, you look at it on Instagram and shit and people really got it figured out.
I mean, that's a massive misconception for sure. But I understand why it exists. Like people see the highlight reel on the internet. People post what, you know, they think people are going to like the most because it, you know, it seems amazing, or it seems like they made it, or they have the nice car, or they have the girl, their life looks perfect. But it's all like, that's someone's highlight reel that they're posting, because they also know that that will get the most engagement or likes or views, which ironically, in some cases, like there are good examples of people on the internet who are just a little bit more raw, who like post like, you know, maybe the more unedited filter.
And they do better.
They do great.
Yeah.
Because people are like, we need that. And I think that there is a trend on social media now that is going more towards that. Like the people who are just like,
I like that too.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
And not trying to make it perfect. And there is more, I wouldn't say always like success in the, you know, the likes or the algorithm of like getting the most views. But the true value is if you can create a relationship with an audience that is, you know, let's say you got 10,000 likes on a photo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Versus the guy who got 100,000 likes on a photo.
Okay.
But the 100,000 likes is like the people who are like, oh, this is like the untouchable, right? This
yeah.
is like, oh, that guy's on a pedestal. The 10,000 likes, let's say all 10,000 of those people were like, yo, this is my fucking guy. I love this guy.
That's way more valuable.
There's 10 times more value there. So
100%.
There's this, people don't understand that concept. I think they just see the views and the likes and they're like, that's where I want to get or whatever. Or like, I need to have things like that person to be successful or to have success. But it's so much more, there's such a difference in what actual value is being like created between like a you know, someone posting content and the person receiving content. It people need to feel like related. They need to feel closer. They need to feel like, oh shit, what that person said, I can identify some things in my life that actually directly relates to me.
Yeah.
Instead of like, that person's on a pedestal and they're great. Like that only lasts for so long.
You know, nothing makes me happier than when I hear like, the Austin McBroom's losing his house because he was all red and shit was all smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, it's like,
you know, it's like, I love that shit. And it's not just them. I mean, you see it happen all the time. These YouTubers, you know, the cars get repoed or you find out the house is a rental and they didn't pay their taxes last year.
Well, yeah, it's like, it's a big finesse, man. I think there's a lot of, you know, and it's hard because, You know the whole like keeping up with the Joneses, that saying, which sure. Obviously we don't say that anymore.
No, but no, I'm all like
keeping up with
about.
The Kardashians or whatever the fuck you want to say, or it's keeping up with like, oh man, like to look a certain way, to appear a certain way. It's like a fucking front though.
Yeah.
And I am saying like there is, you can find success in that type of stuff, but at the same time, I truly believe the trend in this social media space over the next 10 years is going to go more and more towards people who are like, hey, this is just who the fuck I am.
Yep.
There's no, you could see behind the scenes, front of the scenes, doesn't matter. I'm still the same person. And there's so many people in this industry that I've met that are fake as fuck.
Oh yeah, I've interviewed a ton of them, yep.
And it's like, okay, I get it now. But at the same, it's like, it just is what it is. I just think if you want to be successful in it, if you're watching something like this, or if you want to have success just in your life, period, I think the most important thing in success, no matter what the fuck you do, is being able to be a genuine, raw, vulnerable version of yourself. Whether it's in business, whether it's in friendship, it doesn't matter. And that's why I made this the brand.
What?
The Raw Gear.
Why Raw? Because you want to be raw?
Yeah, and just so you guys understand too, like in the logo itself, there's four things that I think are important in like self-development that are like related to you becoming the best version of yourself.
Okay.
And originally the brand was called BM Figure, which is just my name.
Okay.
And then I was me just selling stuff that I thought was dope. And then I rebranded it just over a year ago. And it's, you know, it's fucking 10x'd in like size.
So what are those four things?
So the four things are mind, working on your mind, basically like things that you can do to better yourself, reading a book. Like what are the things that you could do to learn more, listen to more podcasts, just like things that are going to make you better.
Yeah.
Not just seeing content because it's like crazy or funny, like seeing content that's like going to actually affect you as a human being. Right?
Yeah.
Like maybe a conversation like this.
Yep.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Or reading a book or trying to learn something new. So you're challenging yourself constantly to try and grow mentally. Mm-hmm. Right. The next one is body, right? Which is trying to become better every day, some way. Maybe if you're working on your diet or if you set like a certain physique goal or a certain strength goal or something so that you're active in the sense that because your mind and your body are directly connected.
Yeah, mind-body right? connection.
And then the last two can be a little bit more abstract, but I'll explain it to you. The last two is spirit, which is, in my opinion, is so working on things that allows you to connect better with people in your life, in your circle, like learning, like, oh, hey, like he doesn't like it when I, you know, I do this or I say this, and you kind of understand that, being aware, trying to learn how to be more aware of those things.
Most people aren't self-aware, man.
Right. So this is about learning awareness of yourself and your space and the people around you in your space and the people who work or the people who are part of your community or whatever you're doing, right?
Yep.
Your friend circle.
Yeah, it's huge.
And then the last one is soul, which is in my opinion, your deep connection to who you truly are and what truly fulfills you, right? And trying to find ways to learn about that. Because, like, I'm not saying you got to know what that is, right?
Yeah.
But you have to try to figure out ways to get deeper to that so you can understand, okay, this really makes me happy. Like, what is truly making you happy? What is truly moving you as an individual, as a human?
Yeah.
What's making you, what makes you tick?
This and does for me. Like, me I like doing this.
This is my favorite.
It's like, my favorite thing in the world.
Since I've been doing podcasts,
I love it.
I will never stop. This is my most enjoyable type of content.
I don't care how many views it gets or if it gets dislikes. Because I don't give a fuck.
This is the thing that I've learned most about it, like from doing Raw Talk and from doing the Culture Cast before I rebranded it to Raw Talk, I realized like these conversations in themselves are the most healing for me as an individual too. And because I'm able to just share straight off my head, like this is how I feel, this is what I think. And again, it all comes back to me being able to be the most vulnerable version of myself.
Yep.
And that allows me to be the happiest. And I truly believe in all aspects, like of business, of friendships, of anything, being able to be that. Because like if I had let's say we were best friends and I didn't tell you that when you did XYZ, it made me feel like this.
Yep.
There'd be some sort of friction there that wouldn't need to be there if I was just saying, hey man, when this happens, I feel like this. Can we talk about it? And people are afraid of that confrontation. But that kind of stuff is what makes people truly grow. You might realize that person is not supposed to be your friend anymore, or you might realize that person might realize, oh wait, I didn't even realize I was doing this.
Yep.
And now you can make a situation way better. And then same thing with relationships, intimate relationships, same thing with business, same thing with everything. It's all on the same principles.
You know, and it's funny, and that's a great example of kind of what you were talking about before, and you were so right. Like that relationship you were in with the girl, right? You didn't have your own shit figured out, so you were toxic in that relationship, right? A lot of people can't say that, yo, Bradley, whenever you call me Tommy, I fucking hate it, you know? Yeah. But I can't say that because I'm afraid I'll lose you as a friend. So I think key, like you hit on too, is you got to kind of figure out what's blocking you or like your own shit to be able to grow.
Well, that's essential. Like I said, it's not, that's the thing. Like it's, and the crazy thing about all this is everyone is on their own timeline of when they are like allowing themselves to realize these things within themselves.
100%.
So it's like, I could want that for you to understand that, or whoever's listening, I could want you to understand this. I want you to understand me. But like, they might be, that person on the other side might still be trying to figure out 10 other things in themselves that don't even allow them to get to that step so that you can, that information or that energy could be received the way you want it to be received.
Yeah.
So it's just like, that's why life is so just crazy. And it's so up and down. And it's so like, it's unpredictable.
You know, it's funny.
But it's also what makes it beautiful.
Hell yeah. Like, yeah. I've been sober 16 years. And the most frustrating thing is, because I've had friends die of, you know, of overdoses and all this kind of shit. And some people come to me because they know I'm sober and like, you know, need some help and stuff. But the most frustrating thing is just like you said, and I'm sure it's the same thing the trainer feels too, is you can't make somebody just get it.
Yeah.
Like, I want you to get what I'm saying and drop that 20 pounds and feel great about yourselves, or realizing you're fucking up your life because of this drug and like want to change it. Like, unfortunately, you can't.
Yeah, I'll give you a personal example. My mom, I called my mom the other day and she goes, you should talk to your cousin, you know, my mom's sister's son, about this thing. He's having a hard time with this. And I said, look, I'd love to talk to him. And my bigger question though is like, is he ready to receive that? Like, you know, you have to be ready to receive that, because anyone, I could talk to anyone. You could talk to anyone, but it's like you said, you tell them all the things you think you know they need to know. It doesn't matter until they're willing to hear it or to like process it a certain way. And she was telling me this stuff and I was like, I'd love to talk to the kid, but like, is he ready to hear it? I don't know. Right? We have to be ready to hear those things to make those changes within ourselves. And it requires us to look inside ourselves. And that's the hardest thing for people.
You know, it's funny. I don't know if you found this, but I did it. Like, the older I get, the less advice I give. Like, when I was 25 and I think that I have the world figured out, and I'm going to tell you exactly, Bradley, this is what you should do. Now, unless somebody really asks me, I'm not going to, because most of the time it's wasted breath.
Yeah.
You know, because chances are I'm just kind of, you know, preaching and the person's not even ready to hear shit. So like, why be that guy?
So I've always been like, I've probably always been the guy. It's funny. Jake will be like, this guy talks forever. And it's true. I've always been that guy, whether or not like.
That's a good quality in a podcaster.
Yeah. I love podcasting, but no, you're right. I mean, people have to be ready for it and they're not always ready for it. But at the same time, like, you do have to try, because sometimes like the thing with people is, you know, the first time they hear it, the second time they hear it, the third time it's not going through, the fourth time, and maybe sometimes depending by the fifth time, who they hear it from could maybe be the
That's
difference.
True.
Or the fifth time could just be the difference where it's like, oh, I've heard this five times. Like, maybe I should start investigating this inside myself.
Yeah.
I just think people listening, if you're listening, if you have something going on in your life, just number one, whatever the fuck it is, don't go, this is happening to me because of something out here. Like, I get it. There probably is something out here that's affecting you. I'm not saying there's not.
Yeah.
But I think the question you guys start asking you is, what is going on inside myself that is allowing these things to be a part of my life?
Yep.
How did I get here? Not how did that person hurt me?
Yeah.
The first thing you have to stop doing is pointing fingers and blaming other people. Because, like, there are so many situations in my life that I found myself in where I was like, wow, I feel so fucking attacked. I felt so hurt. Even on social. And it's like, I got myself also equally into that position to allow that to even be a part of my life because of, you know, something else in my life that I was like, you know, excited about a potential possibility or an opportunity. And I, you know, I dove head first and I got fucking punched in the head.
Yeah.
And on the way out, I'm like, what the fuck happened? Like, why did this person do this to me? But I also had to realize, like, okay, maybe I need to slow myself up, take more time to understand situations, look at something beyond just what I think a great possibility or potential is. And start to realize, okay, what else, like, what could actually go wrong? And I'm not saying you gotta think, oh, all these things are gonna go wrong, but sometimes you gotta take a little bit more time, you know?
Yeah, dude, it reminds me of, like, you know, when you're walking down the streets, yeah, somebody can come up to you and just punch you in the face for no reason, right? Happens like one out of a billion times, right? But chances are, if you got punched, you've got some part in that somewhere.
Yeah, no, yeah. Yeah, it's very rare for someone to come and just hit you in the face.
No, usually there's something going on behind the scenes.
Maybe in downtown LA somewhere, someone might just come hit you in the fucking face.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like, I think it depends where you're at. Like, no one's just going to randomly come up and hit you.
Usually, I mean, they may be at fault 90% of the time, but you may have had a little something.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's just the way it is.
It's the way life is.
But it's about looking inside yourself. And that's the thing I think is hard for a lot of people. And I know it was very hard for me.
Dude, this is such an interesting conversation because, like, it's so easy to look at you and go, oh, he's the funny guy who's lifting, you know, hot chicks on Instagram. You know, it's like, wait, there's a whole nother side. Like, you don't necessarily get that impression that you're as deep as you are, that you're really this, you really are kind of like a, like a self-help kind of guy. Like, I know it sounds cheesy. I'm not trying to paint you like you're the new Oprah, yeah. right? Yeah, or anything yeah. like that. But like you are all in, you know, your thing. Kaizen has always been a favorite term of mine.
Yeah.
It's Japanese. It means continuous improvement.
Yeah.
And that seems like that's kind of the path you're on. It's like, I'm trying to figure all this shit out.
Absolutely.
Whether it's my body or my diet yeah. or my relationships.
And the thing is, it's all business. It's all connected.
Yep.
Those are the things. Those are the four things that I always identified throughout my life. Like, damn, these are the most important things that to give thought to try to become better at, to try and grow. That's honestly, I'm not trying to plug blah, 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 but that is why I put it into the brand, because I also realized like a lot of brands, there's no real heart. They're just like, it's a company, it's something cool and we can make money.
Yep.
But I was like, why not put this kind of heart into something that could really mean something to people? Because like I told you in the beginning, I was selling things that I liked, right? Mm-hmm. And then people who were buying it were showing up to me in person and saying, you changed my life because of this video. And I saw you talked about this. You talked about your father. You talked about relationship. And it helped me. And I love you and I appreciate you. And they're decked out in my stuff. So that's when I was like, cool. Oh, shit. The things that I was doing, like the things that I was giving, like the love or the information or like the perspective that someone needed, they received it.
Yeah.
Then I was like, that's why these people are buying my stuff. So I was like, okay, when I rebrand this and I start to involve new people and new athletes, which like I said, we've been doing for the last year, I want to make it more closely related to that. So like the thing that I was doing was being raw, was being genuine, was being vulnerable. And so I was like, oh, that'll look cool next to raw.
It does look good.
I'm not going to be invulnerable gear.
You know what I'm saying? Like, buy that.
Genuine gear. I was like, raw gear. That sounds cool.
That sounds cool. Yeah.
So that's where it all came from, man.
So talk about it. Like, what athletes, what's the brand all about?
It's that. It's truly about that. Obviously, like, we make the nicest stuff, the highest quality material. Like, there's no question about any of that. Mm-hmm.
I look at your site. Everything's like 5-star rating.
Yeah. I mean, everything is fucking incredible. Like, I would not sell it if I didn't fucking love it. Mm-hmm. Period. End of story.
And you're head to toe right now?
Yeah, always.
Always.
Like, literally head to toe. This was from the new drop, the Black Friday stuff. Not even going to promote it. It's like probably already gone now. But, yeah, I mean, that's on the front side. Obviously, we want people to something that looks really cool, something that feels really good, something that makes them feel good. And then I realized too, I need to do more teaching about this aspect of it, which is why I do things like this.
Yeah, it's cool.
But you know how it goes on the internet. Like, I can do a video where I talk about something like this,
and it gets
like
no views.
100,000, 10,000.
Yeah, 100%.
Which is fine. At the same time, if the 10,000 people hear it and they're like, oh shit, I get it now.
Yeah,
there's more value there than being like, I'm the fucking jacked cool guy who fucking lifts the girl.
Yeah, you know? You're gonna get more views you next to a hot influencer.
Of course,
at your gym.
I know what it is.
Of course, yeah.
I figured that out a long time ago.
Yeah, and you know what? Talking about content, it's okay to mix up both.
You have to.
You have to.
Like I said, I always say this, like, You gotta cast a large net, right?
Yeah.
And remember what we talked about seconds ago, moments ago, 3 minutes ago. Someone, you know, let's say I throw the big net and they all come in and they're like, yo, that shit was crazy. You saw him lift a girl, blah, blah, blah. Oh, he did this weight or he looks like that. It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start to, the people who are willing to find out more, they go,
dig.
Oh, wait, they do. And then they find out, oh, he had this conversation. Whoa, that really affected me.
Yep.
Right? But you gotta know that the 10,000, 100,000 probably gonna be like, yeah, I'm not ready for that yet. I wanted this cool, like, clickbaity fucking the girl's hot, her butt's nice shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the lift's cool. And then, you know, there's like the 5,000 people who are like, oh, damn, this other shit that actually really meaningful, I needed that and I was looking for that.
And then 500 are gonna buy raw.
Right, and
you
truly,
keep going,
man,
down.
This is the crazy thing, if we talk about business, you only need, and I tell the guys this all the time, you need like 1,000 people.
I was just gonna say that. I know that quote and it's so true.
I don't know, it's a quote. I just fucking made it up because
so
I know.
It's so true.
It.
Some
this
dude.
This is a quote?
It's a thing, yeah.
Oh, this is my goddamn quote now, motherfucker. I don't
bro,
know who
you should
that guy
fight
is.
For credit for this.
This is my quote because, like, I've never heard that damn quote.
No, I have. Like, all you need is 1,000 people who are willing to invest in you financially.
Yeah. Who are, like, if you have 1,000 people who truly believe in what you're doing and if they're supporting you over the course of like a few years, you will become a millionaire.
You can make a living at it.
You could become a millionaire.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I've seen the numbers.
100%.
Like, and so that's the thing. If you have that many, it's like, it
you don't need
like
the million followers.
No, you don't.
You don't.
And that's a big misconception, I think.
Yep.
But I think it's really cool if you hear, obviously I'm not, again, I don't want to make this, you're just doing things for money, but like, it is the value, the thing that you're giving, right? If you get someone truly engaged in what you're doing,
100%.
Then they're like, yo, I got something out of this. And I got, and then 10 more times they feel like I got something I really wanted out of this. If you say, hey, buy this hat, they'd be like, of course. You already gave it to me 10 times.
Yep.
This is easy. This is nothing. I'm going to buy a hat anyways.
Yep.
And then they get the hat and they're like, well, this quality is really fucking nice. That's like, then they're like, oh shit, I got the value 10 times. I bought the hat and I have a dope hat. I love it.
Yep.
I'm going to keep supporting this person.
Yeah.
right? Because then we talk about on the flip side, the brand side is like the quality, and then they get it and they're like, oh shit, I want to get more stuff here.
Yeah.
Anyways. And then they're like, oh, I also like the you know, the emotional aspect that I'm able to connect to this now.
And I like the creator. I like Bradley. I want to support him and advertise for him too.
Exactly.
I think it's pretty cool.
It's, dude, I'm so grateful. Like, life is incredible.
And you were telling me before, and we won't share, how the business is going.
it's
very, very successful.
Yeah, it's dope, man.
Is that your biggest money maker?
Yeah, currently.
Ahead of everything.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it's dope, man. It's really cool.
How the supplements going?
The supplements were in the process. I'm in the process of currently rebranding that.
Mm-hmm.
I picked up some new part. That had been like a little bit of a work in progress for some time. I never had enough time to fully dedicate to it.
Yeah.
So now I'm in the process of getting a new team involved, a really, really strong team that like does this and they've done this. And I'm like really happy for it.
Oh, cool.
It's going to take about 6 months before we relaunch it. And I'm going to relaunch it under Zoo.
Yeah.
So that's in that process.
So I looked at your current thing. Are you going to keep it simple like that? Like just the necessary protein, fat burner, pre-workout.
It'll be everything.
You're going to do everything.
Yeah, I can't give away too much of this information because then I'll be like kind of giving up some proprietary information as far as what we want it to be.
Yeah.
But it'll be a lot more personable, I could say.
Okay.
Yeah, for individuals.
I have a supplement question for you.
Yeah.
I looked at the thing and I'm like, look at all the supplements. I'm like, okay, I get protein. Got it.
Yeah.
Got pre-workout, get jacked up and work out. Got it.
Yeah.
BCAAs. Do I need BCAAs in my life? What the fuck do they do?
Yeah, it's so funny. Jacob just asked that question like 2 days ago.
Oh, did he really?
I mean, BCAAs.
What do they do?
The idea is like to stop muscle wasting. Like the main form of BCAAs would be like if you're dieting really, really hard.
Okay.
And then, you know, you're severely kind of cutting calories and dieting, then to increase like those specific BCAAs are going to slow down muscle wasting. So like if you're dieting really hard, but you want to maintain muscle mass, BCAAs in times when you're like really calorie deficient can be pretty beneficial.
Okay.
Here's the deal, right? People get this misconception. Like if you're, let's say you're trying to build muscle and you're already eating enough calories, like just period. Here's the deal with supplements.
Let me know. What do you
don't need supplements if your diet is solid.
Of course.
Okay. There are other supplements, extracts and things that you can take that can improve or add to.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, like if you're not drinking enough water, if you're not eating enough food, if you're not getting enough sleep, whatever you're trying to do with your body is going to be slower.
I got this from Logan Paul, bro. I interviewed him and he had this fucking giant, bigger than this. I go, dude, how much water is that? He's like, a gallon.
Yeah, I drink a gallon every day. I'm fucking up right now.
So I do half a gallon. So I just know I got to fill this twice.
You got me feeling really like,
bro, you got to step up. I'm so hydrated right now. I'm going to take another piss before I leave.
Dude, I feel fucked right now.
Come on, man.
I've been busy as shit all day today.
Still drink water, bro.
I know. Normally,
my assistant
will bring me a fucking thing, but no, water's essential. But BCAAs can help. I mean, it's just more so, I would say, if you're in like a calorie deficit, to slow down that like muscle wasting process. But again, you're not just wasting muscle like the time. Those things are also largely genetic dependent as well, but it can help extra.
Okay.
Right? That's the thing. It's just like more of the muscle building aminos.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talk about the podcast. I mean, shit, we've been looking at the podcast the whole time. Talk about the podcast.
100%. This is the most enjoyment. This is the most fun I have doing content now. And obviously, I mean, even for a long time, I did the podcast for 4 years, but it's have a few different iterations.
Mm-hmm.
But this is by far the most fun I have making content because it's this. It's talking. It's like me being able to learn about you. You learn about me. We could fucking hopefully give back to some people who are listening.
Sure.
And like I said, that is what over the years I realized like that was the most beneficial thing to the audience, people listening, and also the most beneficial thing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Not just financially, but like in my heart, I felt the best. Like when I would finish things like this, I'd be like, I'm glad I got to say it. I'm glad I got that off my chest.
I'm going to be just loving it, driving home, thinking about the interview. Yeah, it's the greatest.
Yeah, and and I learn more about myself by speaking about my situations and what I've been through. And I learn about you, and hopefully the people listening can learn about themselves. And then that's just what this is. So the Raw Talk, the idea is, you know, obviously along branding, because I got to stay on the brand, you know what I'm saying?
But always on brand.
I'm really kind of like on that shit, but it's real. Like it's the idea is to have conversations about things that maybe most people won't talk about, or because a lot of people talk about things that people do.
Like
right?
What do you mean?
Like if you were interviewing me, you're like, yo, you have businesses, and like these are my businesses, and but like most people, and it's not you specifically, I'm saying most people.
Bro, I'm the greatest ever. Am I already having a great time?
Well, no. This is amazing. I'm just saying most people talk about the things people do.
Oh, yeah.
And I like to talk about, like, yes, the things they do, but like how they got there. Like,
100%.
Like in their heart. What was that thing that got them there?
That's the most interesting.
Because that's also how you can understand how that person did. If someone watching can be like, okay, I could see these certain similarities in myself or the things that drove him or put or made him feel, you know, fulfilled. And then they can not like copy, but they can learn more if like they're more directly related to that. And it's different than if I was like, yo, I'm just a really successful business guy and I work out. It's like, now again, remember, I'm on that, I'm putting myself on this pedestal where it's like, that's not just who I am.
Yep.
You might just see me that way now, but like, there's no way I got there without all this other shit in my life. So I like to talk about all the other shit.
It's funny, you said that a couple times, being authentic, and it just reminds me of this hot influencer I followed on Instagram. You know, I'm a guy, I follow hot chicks to look at, it's nice. And I had an unfollower because I just had enough. Every picture was fucking perfect. And eventually I'm like,
I don't know who it was.
I'm screaming, Olivia Coppa.
Oh, I didn't even know.
I don't know. She's some hot girl on Instagram. No offense, I'm sure you're a nice person.
Yeah.
But every picture was just perfect. And I'm like, dude, show me one in your pajamas. Show me one fucking when
and
you're
honestly,
on the couch.
That would probably bang. That would probably go crazy.
I would love to see that shit. Like, take advice. Try it out. Who knows?
No, I'm saying, I mean, that's real. People look for that stuff. They want more of that stuff. I think, like I said, in the next 10 years, I think more people are who start to really connect with that side of them will start to be more successful on the internet.
What kind of guests are you looking to have?
Fucking everyone. Who is it? Is this a... Oh, what's up, Mom?
People coming in?
Oh, my mom.
Hi,
mom.
Oh, your...
yeah,
oh,
you
hey.
Can. You can sit down right over there.
Okay.
Yeah,
hey, Mrs. Martin.
Hi.
How are you?
Yeah, hi, Mom.
Nice to meet
We're doing
you.
A little interview thing.
I'm what?
We're doing an interview thing.
We're just wrapping up.
Yeah. I mean, everyone. I just, yeah, a lot of my friends in the space, social media space. I'd like to get, like, you know, people who are probably a lot harder to get. Like, I'd
Who's
like
your
that.
Dream guest?
Oh, Joe Rogan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah,
of course. It's every podcast is
Of course.
Guest.
Talking for 4
Joe
hours.
Joe Rogan and Elon Musk.
I'm sure you can get Rogan, don't you think? You're big enough.
I know Rogan. I know
Rogan. Oh, do you really?
But Rogan also doesn't really come on to people's shows, you know?
Why would he? He doesn't need
to. Yeah, he's the GOAT. He just, everyone just shows up. Now they're going to Austin. He used to be right down the street from my gym at a
Yeah, so how does the show work now? He's in Austin. Do the guests just have to come there to see him?
Oh, shit, who wouldn't?
Yeah, you know? That's why.
I'd book a flight tonight, no?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, so people just fly out there and they'd probably just pull up to the studio.
That's like the pull he has. Like, if he's in LA, okay, everybody lives in LA, it's easier.
He is Joe. I mean, if you, I don't know if you know about his numbers, but they're
ridiculous.
So it's like you're literally going on one of the biggest platforms in the world.
Yep.
So of course people are going to be like, yeah, whatever time works for you, Joe, you know, I'm pulling up.
They didn't pay him all that money for nothing.
No, he's like the male Oprah at this point.
Oh, 100%. He really is.
Like, I swear.
I thought you were, like, for a while there, you were getting to be like the male Oprah to me for a second there in this interview, but I think he might be the male Oprah.
No, he is.
He's the guy.
That's the guy I'm following those footsteps.
He's the real guy,
I'm following those footsteps.
He should have a Joe Rogan magazine.
Dude.
Just talk about, like, bow hunting and shit.
I love that guy. I just love that he doesn't give a fuck and he just says what he thinks.
Promote some guests you got coming up.
We just had Brendan Schaub on like last.
Oh, nice.
Last episode. It's going up today, actually.
Okay.
I want to try and get Dana White. I'll have to hit him up.
Oh, he's entertaining. He'd be good.
Yeah, he's dope. But yeah, even just beyond just celebrity people, I want to start including more of my athletes and just people, even my videographers and stuff, and just have conversations about things that we actually are going through.
Yeah.
And talking about those things. Because I think it's just.
That's cool.
There's value there. It doesn't always have to be like, you know, the popular guy. Because I understand, I know how this works. The popular guy, like I said,
the most views,
But at the same time, like, imagine you're the most popular person, but you can't have, you know, real good conversation in there. It's like, then what's the point, right? You just get all the views and...
I made that mistake early on, man. I would interview, like, just based on following. I just remember interviewing this Instagram model, and it was like talking to a fucking wall.
Yeah.
I'm like, what am I doing? I'm like, and then it got no views, and I thought about it. I'm like, I was just trying to figure things out. I'm like, wait a minute. People aren't following her for her to talk.
Yeah, no.
People want to see her.
And also, I think if you're watching a video and like you could tell that the interviewer is trying to fucking drag interactions out of the other
side. Have you had any interviews like that?
Yeah.
Where you've had to do those?
Of course, of course. And then we just wouldn't post them. But, you know, I've had interactions where like if you feel like you got to drag it out of someone, then like if someone's watching that, they're also going to be like, oh, I can't even take this. Especially this setting, podcasting, right? It'd be better to talk to someone that no one knows, but if you could have a great conversation, they're going to be more engaged.
Like, Rogan's great at that. He'll have Elon Musk on and some weird scientist you never heard of.
Yeah, I love
but
it.
Like, is like, but you end up listening to him for 2 hours.
Yeah.
You're like, the fuck?
He just knows how to have a conversation. I think Joe's probably really good at the back end, like, fact finding.
Yeah.
So that he has things that are, like, specific on that person that if he finds it interesting, obviously his audience will find it interesting as well. So that's what I'll try to do. I'll try to have conversations about things or with people that I can be, I can talk genuinely to.
That's cool.
You know, if not, you kind of feel like, you know, you're going to be trying to pull just for, you know, some name or some views on a YouTube video. And then ultimately, like I said, the people are going to see it and be like, this shit sucks.
Yep.
So fuck that. Yeah, fuck that. It's always about the value, man.
It really is.
Yeah, for the people.
What else are you promoting? Do we hit everything?
Yeah, I mean, it's just
your
I got
gym?
Instagram, Zoo Culture, the gym. We're
putting in all your links.
Yeah, yeah, we're working on expanding that to Austin, actually, because I want to move.
Oh, are you
there.
Really?
Yeah. Looking at to buy a house out there for some of the athletes.
Be closer to Joe Rogan in case he invites you.
Who knows? You know, that'd be sick.
Can't hurt.
Shout out, Joe. No, I know. From what I remember, Joe is that he doesn't like when people are like, yo, get Brad. Like, if I was like, yo, tell everyone to go hit up
retweet
Joe.
This. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he likes that kind of shit.
Fuck no.
I don't blame him. But no, Austin, just because, like, I like Texas.
That's a cool
lot,
town.
And I like kind of where they're.
What do you think? Matthew McConaughey may run for governor.
Where?
In Texas. He lives in Austin.
He'll probably win.
Yeah, they were saying like him versus the incumbent versus Beto O'Rourke's the other guy. Like right now he would finish, he would win in these like fake polls people are doing.
Governor?
Governor of Texas.
Oh, so the Abbott guy's governor, right?
Yeah, I think that's the current guy.
He'd go against that guy.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I know Texas, they love that guy.
Yeah.
Like they love,
it's fucking Matthew McConaughey, celebrities, bro. People love
celebrities. I went to a UFC event and the Abbott guy was there and they like standing ovation.
Oh, no way.
They love him. He's like low-key a celebrity there because he also was like, you know, fuck all these things that everyone was kind of...
Yeah, yeah.
Which they appreciated that.
They love that.
So I don't know, but I'm sure McConaughey would do fucking well. I mean,
he'd be a good guest. Maybe if he runs, he could promote his, you know, campaign.
I'd love to. Actually, I probably could hit him up. I know he was on... I was going to do Aubrey Marcus's podcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I know he had him on a couple times, I think.
Oh, cool.
I got to have Aubrey on, too. But no, I like just having conversations like this.
It's fun.
It's there's nothing like it.
See, before we started, we're going to wrap things up now. Yeah. But before we started, you were fucking stressing. You were talking about the shitty carpet, how people trashed your fucking home. This is where you live.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well,
people were trashing
this is the podcast
it, the podcast
they
room.
Fucked it up.
They fucked it up, bro.
But
now, man, don't you feel better?
I feel amazing.
I feel amazing,
and
bro.
And I'm going to go
how
with
do we
my
do
mom
it?
To walk the dog at the dog park.
There, it's not a bad day, bro.
No, it's a beautiful day.
Yeah. I hope sales stay up.
Me too.
All right, brother.
If not, you know, fuck it.
Everybody go check it out. Thank you, brother.
I
it was a pleasure,
it,
man.
Good to meet you, too.
Thanks. Good to meet you, too.
Hell yeah.
Thanks, guys.